Good afternoon, everyone. Today I'm presenting a study. It's a comparison of healthcare expenditure between homeless population and a matched comparison group. This kind of is unique because, as you know, the recent Medicare expansion is going to benefit the homeless population because of their low income, and for state up to include to start an expansion, these are population they are going to definitely become qualified for the Medicaid program. However, most of the studies have been looking at the utilization or expenditure between homeless population and non-homeless population, but based on the survey data or self-record data. So people really kind of don't have much information to know, okay, when this population become insured, what type of utilization they are going to have and what type of expenditure they are going to experience. So this study kind of give us a kind of first step to understand what that might be. And because from state's point of view, they want to provide good care for their citizens. However, they also have financial concerns. So they want to know how they can manage this population in terms of their high complexity as well as financial. No relationship to this culture. I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators. This is a collaboration between the University of Massachusetts Medical School and the Boston Healthcare for Homeless Program. And Robin Clark is a professor at the Department for Family Medicine and Community Health, as well as the Department of Quantitative Health Science. Jane Zhang is a senior statistician. Beth O'Connor serves as a project manager. Jesse Getty is the medical director for the Boston Healthcare for Homeless Program. And Monica Burrell, who was formerly the medical director for the Homeless Program and now the commissioner for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. Yeah, so homeless individuals, they experience a very high rate of the behavioral health conditions, general medical conditions, as well as injuries related to assault and accident. So they haven't got a good care because they, in their daily life, they face multiple demands, competing demands. They probably need to look for food or look for shelter first before they can think about how to take care of themselves. So that make it kind of very interesting. And also our current healthcare system, even though now have lots of healthcare reform in the accountable care organizations, and most of the efforts focus on the traditional general medical care, and this population a very high disease burden and behavioral health condition. And we are trying to kind of think about is there any innovative way we can integrate these two sectors together in providing care. And under the ACA, actually, there are lots of opportunities which might be able to help this. One is Medicaid expansion. So that's the first step to provide a health insurance coverage. And from there, then through each state's Medicaid program, they can think about an innovative way to help them. And the other one is so-called a health zone option, which has been there for, 5 years or 6 years. Many states have started to think about apply for this opportunity to CMS and to provide additional reimbursement to help the care coordination and care management to integrate behavioral health and primary care together. And the other one is the ACA also emphasize care coordination and care management. So every state is starting to think about, well, they might want to pay a little bit more for the care management or care coordination and starting to have a new procedure to cover that from the finance point of view. However, as we know, kind of this population have very complex care needs and they have a very high health care utilization. And Medicare program, as I mentioned earlier, they really have no idea, okay, what type of service they might be needed, and also kind of how significant the expense is going to be compared to other Medicare members here. So that's kind of our study today here. So we compared the health care expense between a group of Medicaid homeless members to a match comparison, which I'll provide you more detail about how we do the match there. And hopefully the finding can help provide information to the state Medicare programs for them to plan the care accordingly. So before I go into math, many of you might aware of several homeless programs across the nations. And Boston Health Care Fund for the Homeless Program was established in 1985, and they take care of the homeless population in the greater Boston area. Okay. And they have been, I have to say, kind of based on my understanding, since I'm not a physician, I'm a researcher from the Moral Health Service point of view, but based on my understanding, they have been in, up in front kind of all the healthcare reforms. They participate in all the reform programs in our states. So they've been in the beginning, even before that, they've been kind of a lot of the outreach services to reach out the community and reach out to this homeless population. And they are in part of so-called patient-centered medical home. And Massachusetts have a second variation called primary care payment reform. So they are also part of that. And they are also participate in a so-called global payment reforms initiated from our executive office of health and human service. So they are really kind of up in the front and in the field thinking about, okay, here are the healthcare financing and here are the healthcare delivery. They try to kind of bring both sides together to provide better care to this population. And they approach a very integrated care model. They united physician and the non-clinical providers together, and they collaborate closely with behavioral health providers for this population. And their service is everywhere across all the settings to ensure the interoperable care and keep a regular contact with this population. So they provide care on the street, in a shelter, in hospitals, and they even operate a medical respite care unit for this homeless population. After they got out of hospital, they really have nowhere to go to recuperate, so they have a step-down unit for them. And here we merge the program's data, because they have better racial ethnicity data than administrative data, and they also have a housing status, and with the Medicare claims data. And so the reason we feel kind of this unique study is Massachusetts has been kind of in the leading edge. We have already had a Medicare expansion starting from early 1990s. So many homeless population already have Medicare coverage. Okay. So that's kind of, we see this a unique opportunity for us to study this. And for the matching, we do a so-called two-step matching process for the one-to-one match. One is we exam match on the Medicare plan and the Medicare status. The reason is kind of these people can in the so-called in the primary care physician plan, or they can be in the managed care plan. And if they are duly eligible for Medicare and Medicaid, they can be in the fee-for-service plan. So we try to match that exam match so we can make sure they have a similar health insurance coverage on that. And subsequently, we do the so-called propensity score matching. We match on the variables down there, the demographics, health insurance coverage, mental illness and substance use disorder, overall disease burden, physical conditions. So we try to get as comparable as possible. Yeah, as you know, Medicare population can be very wide. They have young children, mothers, or older population. So we try to use the statistical method to find a kind of good match. And our dependent variable is the Medicare and Medicaid expenditures. However, in Medicare claim data, we don't have information on Medicare prescription coverage and if the service is fully covered by Medicare. So that means those claims won't come into the Medicaid information system, so we won't have those information. So we can say we have full spectrum of Medicaid expenditure, but we don't have a full picture of a Medicare expenditure for dual eligible population. And the independent variable, because we already done a match, and so the main factor we are including in the model is the indicator for this homeless. And we also include the overall disease burden to help us better fit the model. And the statistical analysis, we evaluate whether we have done a good job in terms of matching based on the variable we know. And the second step, we use just an ordinary linear square regression to model the untraceable expenditure data. Because normally expenditure data is not very normal, So they are very skilled, usually. They are very skilled to the right hand side there, and not very follow the so called normal distribution assumption for most of the regression. And however, we have large sample size, so we got an advantage, I think, like the presenter. Everything becomes significant anyway with a large sample size. So we get away from that and so still provide an unbiased estimate on difference here. So in terms of the results of two-step matching, so we probably have 6,500 patients and 6,500 matched house individuals. Okay. And they both have Medicare coverage. The population characteristics and disease profile are very similar or balanced there. And however, we did detect some differences here. For example, for the people with the prevalence of other mental illness, is 27% in the homeless population and 26% in the matched comparison group. Well, like I mentioned earlier, it's a large sample size, so even 1% difference, we have p-value is less than 0.05. Yeah. So in the end, we say, well, magnitude-wise, it doesn't matter at all. It's just kind of statistical artifact, make them insignificant, becomes significant. So, but in the end, in the model, we put this variable back in to do the further adjustment. Just be sure we do not overlook anything. These are the population characteristics because they are matched, so you can see kind of on both ends there. So average age 46 years old, highly concentrated in middle age 45 to 64, followed by 25 to 44. And almost three quarters are male. More than half had a disability recorded in Mass Health Administrative data. So that means they are eligible for disability benefit under the Medicare program. And also about over a quarter were dually eligible for Medicare and Medicaid. So, and well, as you all know, they have substantial disease burden. So high prevalent behavioral health conditions. Over two-thirds have mental illness. 60% have substance use disorder, and almost half have co-occurring conditions of mental illness and substance use disorders. And the three leading physical conditions are hypertension, asthma or COPD, and then the third one is hepatitis C. Okay. So this is a common chronic condition and infectious disease prevalent in this population. The overall disease burden is about four times higher than average Medicare members here. So we use a tool so-called DSCG software, which is was developed to predict expenditures. Okay, so when we say four times higher, that means kind of comparing to the average Medicare members, this population have probably at least four times higher expenditures than that. Okay, so on the bottom is a reference to the article we published back in 2013, so that provide you more detail of these profiles. Okay, so despite the similarity in the population characteristics and disease profile, when we look at a healthcare utilization, these are not considered in our matching algorithm. Okay, so we only match on the population demographics and the disease burden. However, when you look at a healthcare utilization, you can see why it's very different here. Looking at the hospitalization, on the left-hand side, the average is one hospitalization for homeless population and 0.7 for comparison group. But when you look at people have at least more than two hospitalizations there, 12% of the homeless population have more than two hospitalizations during the year, but only 8% on the comparison group. And for ED visits, you can see very high, double than the comparison group. And also on the right-hand side, 21% have more than five ED visits during the year. And in the comparison, only 8%. So think about this, they are similar in the demographics, they are similar in the disease burden, but their utilization pattern is totally different. Yeah. And so in addition to the difference in terms of average, they also have great proportion of the homeless population experience so-called high utilization. So it's a high utilizer or high needs group, that's kind of the things in the future. So we just have an article published in current issue of the AJPH, looking at the factors associated with this frequent hospitalization and frequent ED visit on this particular thing here. Okay. Okay, and these are on the just healthcare expenditures. But before you look at the table, I just want to remind you, our comparison group is a group with a very, very high disease burden already. Okay, so you can see there on the comparison group, the average expenditure also very high, $20,000 a year. Okay, and the homeless population a little bit higher, probably $23,000 a year there. And then we also break down by behavioral health services and the general medical care based on the principal diagnosis of the camps there. Okay. And if you look, we have done another study on the so-called high needs or high utilizer in the overall mass health population. So about half of the homeless population are in so-called highest 10% of Medicare expenditures. So definitely there will be the so-called target population for any state's program in the reforms there. Okay. And at least we take the regression adjustment for last, so the difference is probably $1,600 here, okay. So because the current model, the DSCG did not provide lots of adjustment for the behavioral health expenditures. So they are square. They are adjusted as lower than the other two. Okay. Yeah. So in summary, compared to their counterparts in the Medicare members, remember these counterparts are also very, very high disease burden. Okay, homeless population with health insurance coverage still experience frequent hospitalization and ED visits, and they also still have a very high higher expenditure than their counterparts there. And the fact underlying this. It's kind of very complex here. We have adjusted the variables that we can get from our data set. However, there are many things that we cannot adjust for in our modeling. For example, this group of people, they might not have the means or the ways to coordinate or locate the additional services they need, behavioral health services. Yeah, and so they need a care manager or they need to negotiate with the other providers to get into an appointment, to stay in an appointment. So that's a big challenge for them. They probably don't have phone, they probably go in many places, and they cannot go to appointments because they need to look for food or shelter first. Okay. And also kind of the other two presenters talk about, there are many factors beyond the typical healthcare services. So if you only look at us through the medical care lens, we miss a big of that. For example, poor housing. If they don't have housing, it's difficult for them to keep up the treatment, follow the treatment guidelines or regimes. Yeah. And so that. And also, one thing I want to remind you is that because of the maturity and experience care team in the homeless program, okay, so the difference we see here in expenditure between the homeless population and the comparison might have been moderated to some way because they have been trying to integrate service for this population, provide additional service to this population. So you can see the difference could potentially be bigger than that. Especially for the states who is going to expand their program right now and they are going to include a homeless population at the first time. And no system has been in place yet. So that would be, you anticipate much higher expenditures or difference expenditures there. So the strength of the study is we take opportunity of the Massachusetts today. We have early Medicare expansion since 1990. So we can find people, homeless people with health insurance that give us an opportunity to look into this issue. And we use a comprehensive Medicare claims that cover behavioral health service and general medical care across a broad range of settings there. Okay. And we use a statistical approach to identify a really major comparison group in demographics, in disease burden. Yeah. However, there are some limitations I would like to offer you to consider in interpreting our findings here. First, this is a cross-sectional study using the calendar year 2010 data. So many things have changed in the past 5 years. The patient-centered medical home initiative, primary care payment reforms, also, there is a One Care program, which is the program offered to the younger dual eligible population in our state. Okay, so many things have been changed in the past 4 or 5 years there. Yeah, but like I said, for state who just kind of thinking about the Medicare expansion, especially on this population, this still offer lots of information to them. And So generalization is always an issue because this Massachusetts, people always say Massachusetts is very different. So because our early Medicare expansion and also historically, especially in Puerto Boston area, there is a high utilization rate of many services there. So that's kind of some kind of underlying baseline here. And the other thing is that we did not include expenditures from other state agencies or some other program. I think this Hornets program, they have some grants from the foundation or from other initiative or block grant. So those are the service expenses we did not include. So this is perspective more from the Medicaid point of view. We cannot tell you the full expenditures to take care of the homeless population. So please keep that in mind when you see the difference. Well, difference only 1,600,000. Well, it's okay, not too much. But actually behind that, there are lots of additional funding needed to support a homeless program to operate, to provide additional services to this population there. So our implication, improving health care coverage alone is the first step. It's the first step. But with that coverage alone and the conventional medical intervention might not be sufficient to provide care to this complex population. So I think the main thing is kind of we need to have a cross state agency approach to think about, in addition to medical services, are there other social support services that can put together and to provide a more comprehensive and integrated service to this population to cover both medical and the social side of their needs. Yeah. So thank you. And if any question, here is my email address. Please contact me. Okay. Thank you. Yes. That's a good question. The question is kind of whether we have information regarding, for example, in the hospitalization, how much hospital is put in to take care of this population, in addition to the regular reimbursement from Medicaid. Yeah, so unfortunately, we don't have that information. It's more, in other way, in the health economic point of view, it's a cost to the hospital. Okay. In addition to what they can get from the Medicaid programs, they might need to put additional services for this population. For example, social workers, help them to look kind of the after care. Yeah. So those are time and effort they put in there to link this population back to the community or back to the service. Those are the hidden costs that we don't see here. So actually, in my kind of limitation here, I should say, in addition to the state agents, other state agency, other programs, the cost, there is also expenditure from the providers. They are willing to provide additional service to this population. Thank you. It's a good question. I think kind of that's a good question. In addition to these medical services, we do need to look into these areas. There are a couple studies done for supportive housing. They have demonstrated they reduce the loss of substance use disorder related events, and also have lowered the total healthcare expenditures. So there are evidence out there, and actually Boston Healthcare for Honestville also. Operate in a small scale, relative scale, some supportive housing program there. However, those are kind of, now what I understand is mainly based on the grant fundings. And so they cannot, there's no kind of large economic scale to expand that. So that's kind of, if the state agency, many states have, in addition to Medicaid program, they have Department of Housing, Public Housing, or even the Department of Public Health, okay. And many of these people also have received services from Department of Mental Health. Okay. So if they can look around and put people together, and they have good opportunity to integrate these services together. Ideally, but I know kind of that's a challenge to go, but I think that's kind of this is the first step to that we can think about the most kind of approaches.
Thank you.